Well, I think it would be safe to say that we all should be amazed, amen, that God would save any of us. And yet that's how great his love is and his grace is. I took time. We've enjoyed having our children from Ohio down for a little while, and they'll be here next week with us still. And so I asked Brian while he was here if he'd like to preach. So I kind of put him on the spot for this Sunday here, and he accepted. And so I figure since he was a former pastor here, right, and he would be able to come and speak to our hearts on this Memorial Day. So, Brian, why don't you come on up here and give us the Word of God, maybe share a little bit about what's going on with you and Ohio. All right. And all yours, bro.
Thank you. Hey, we got matching Bibles there. Good. Yeah. I'm going to shop at the same place. I just want to thank Pastor Heimer for giving me the opportunity to be able to preach this morning. I really wasn't expecting it due to the fact that I'm wearing his shoes this morning. I was running all over the house. I was like, Annalise, I don't even think I've brought any dress shoes. So, and anyways, so we're ready to go. We got shoes on this morning. It was either that, work boots, or running shoes. So I'm just thankful that he's got close enough shoe size that it works here. But listen, folks, it's great to be able to see you all. It's good to be back here with you today. I know we wish we could come down here more often. I promised Annalise that we were going to make a trip here in March, but of course everything happened there with the virus, and we weren't able to come down. And but it's good to be here with family, and that's something that's important to me is family, and definitely for my wife to be able to spend time with them, and for the grandkids to know Grandma and Papa down here in Texas. They've got that whole thing figured out, you know, Grandma and Grandpa in Ohio and Grandma and Papa down in Texas. You say, well, what's different about Ohio? It's cold up there. And we got snow on April 15th, and we miss aspects of Texas. We know where God wants us to be right now, and it's just amazing how God leads and guides and directs. We didn't really expect for things to transpire that the way that they did at the end of last year, but we were very confident that God was leading the way that he was, and it was just simply a matter of stepping out by faith and trusting him. And really, I only had about 2 weeks of work lined up going up there, and I didn't know what was going to take place after that, but the church that we were attending, they were, unbeknownst to us, entering into a major remodel process, about a $225,000 remodel process. The church was very, very outdated. And the pastor just gave me a little task, and then he started giving me more and more and more, and eventually he had me spearhead about 25% of that. So it's been a lot of fun just to function as an advisor and working with the city and the county and engineers, and just helping really let that building shine a little bit more. You know, there were gas stations that had better restrooms than ones that they had up there. And the nursery is now big enough to where they can have double the amount of young families, and our kids are going to enjoy that romper room there. But continue to pray for a special ministry that I'm burdened about. I emphasized it when I was here, and I continue to strongly sense God's leading this area, and that's public school ministries, is getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation. And you see the need, but you don't necessarily know how all the pieces and how all the parts are going to come together. But the school that I graduated from back in 2008, the elementary principal there, she's more than willing and acceptive of having a Bible club started there. They have one for about 6 weeks, but they don't have one for year round. And I was praying about who is someone that could help out with this. And I believe God is putting a lot of those tools and a lot of those people together even now. So if you could specifically pray for that school, it's Triad High School, and pray that God will do a great work in the life of young children, many of who have probably never even heard some of these stories for the first time that they'll hear. And that's where we're at. That's what we're doing. That's the direction that we're heading in. Of course, Benny and Ellie, they just keep on getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Ellie is just full of energy. And Benny is eating us out of house and home. He keeps on asking me to throw him up in the air, and he weighs about as much as a bag of concrete does now. So it's not as easy anymore to toss him up in the air. But today, obviously, we have the weekend of Memorial Day here, and I didn't even turn on my microphone here. Yeah, I was waiting for John to hold that sign up there in the back that said all right. I left it off on purpose because I was waiting for that there, John. But it's good here to be with y'all. and to be able to see familiar faces and people and friends. And we just pray for this church. We love the people here, and we just ask that you continue to do the same for us as well. But if you have your Bibles with you today, go ahead and open up to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. The title for the message today isn't really going to be a long, drawn-out message. It's still off, huh? Okay. How about now? All right. Good. Had to get in just a little bit extra there. The title for the message today is A Day to Remember. This is a familiar passage of Scripture to many, a story that I'm sure that you've read probably more often than what I have. But may God use this to really be a refreshment in our mind's eye, in our heart. May it be a message that echoes in our heart for this year and the years to come as to what I believe God wants to do here at Regency Baptist Church through the people here, through the leadership here. And I believe very strongly that God is going to do that. Memorial Day is a day to remember, is it not? It's a day to remember those that have fallen, those that have given up their lives, not in vain, but for really the sake of freedom, so that we can enjoy this worship that we're enjoying right now. Even though COVID-19 and activists about that would like to take some of those First Amendment rights away from us. But that freedom that has been given to us through those men and women that have given their lives for this country, for an ideology that they believe, and allow their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren to experience religious freedom and freedoms that many countries, even around the world, have not the opportunity and the privilege to be able to experience. And, Memorial Day, it was, does anyone know what it was originally called? Yeah, Decoration Day. Back in the late 1800s, the Civil War had concluded. There were slain soldiers all over the nation. They would decorate those grave sites there. But more or less, it's just grown in sentimentality to represent everyone that has served, everyone that has fought. If you have served for our country in some branch or form, do you mind just raising your hand? Just raise it big and high. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I thought I was going to be able to recognize those 6 hands. Thank you so much for your service. And we remember that through national holidays, through Memorial Day, Independence Day, Veterans Day. We remember those that gave their life through visiting cemeteries. We remember these sacrifices of freedoms through monuments that have been built in their memory. But today I would like for us to look within Scripture and spiritualize this passage of Scripture to something that God wanted to memorialize and monumentalize here in the nation of Israel. And then for us as believers, as church-going believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, to look within this passage of Scripture and remember what God did on this day, and for us to be encouraged in our faith and revitalized in our faith of the amazing God that we serve. It says this in Joshua chapter 3 and in verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and, of course, the Mosquito Bites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the Ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, and it is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people that passed clean over Jordan. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together this morning. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to peer into lessons of the past.
history that helps us really to encourage our faith to continue to move forward in this present hour. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word today, that it would encourage us just to take that next step forward, that it would help us to be reminded that you are the God of the impossible, and that you so desire for there to be moments in our own life and this present history, for there to be days to remember where God did something great, that God did something that no man could have done other than it just clearly being explained that God was the one that did it. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness towards us, for your mercy and grace. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray that you just continue to bless this place in a special way. In your son's name, we pray. Amen. A familiar story, a simple concept that we understand and look at in this passage of Scripture, but a very difficult thing to live. A very difficult thing to live. It's easy to look at this story and say, sure, this happened thousands of years ago, and we can kind of disconnect ourselves from the reading of Scripture and not really apply it too much in this present day situation, at this present juncture, at this personal time in history. But I believe that God is a very personal God, that God didn't just accidentally slap stories together in a historical book for us just to read in our own pastimes and say, hey, that was kind of an interesting read. But God gave us these stories to bolster our faith, to help revitalize really what God wants us to do in this present moment, that God isn't just a God of the past, that God wasn't just a God of our grandparents and our great-grandparents, but that God is very much a God of today. That God is a God of the present. And I strongly believe that in this passage of Scripture, there's so much that we can take from it and apply it to our individual and our personal life if we let the Holy Spirit of God do so. Really, the choice is yours today. I mean, we can listen to the individual that's giving the message today and say, you know, I'm just going to kind of shut this message off today. But don't do that. Allow the Word of God to speak. Allow the Word of God to minister. Allow the Word of God to help further equip you and further encourage you to take that next step that needs to be taken. This was a day to be remembered in the life of the Israelites. First of all, number one, it was a day to be remembered because of the refreshment of souls. Because of the refreshment of souls. Now, before we proceed in this passage of Scripture, and I guess I apologize for the people that are online. They're probably looking at a blank screen right now, and then this person that's walking by sweating and wiping his face occasionally as he's preaching the word. I apologize. That's just how I preach. I'm going to have a tough time readapting to that for those that are on Facebook Live here. But the teaching of crossing over Jordan, there's a misconception that's out there that individuals believe that it symbolizes as crossing over into heaven, or crossing over into glory land, leaving the wilderness, leaving the world, and then crossing over into to be with Jesus Christ forevermore. But really what the symbolism, what the picture that is taking place in this passage of Scripture, what's happening here, it's a symbol of really leaving a lifestyle that's based upon sight and entering into the life that God has designed for every single Christian to live, and that is the life of faith. It's moving from victory to victory to victory to victory to more victories. And even at the conclusion of the life of Joshua, this individual that we're going to look at this morning, he even looks back on his whole entire campaign, all the victories that God had given him. He said there was even more to do. There was even more land to claim. There was even more things to do for the namesake of God. But this particular day that we find here in the Word of God, it was a very, very defining time in the life and nation of the children of Israel. Why? Because if you go 40 years before, where were they at? God had just done some amazing things with this generation of people. He allowed them to experience this great exodus from being slaves for over 400 years. He allowed them to see all of these plagues that were really given to the Egyptians so that Pharaoh would finally come to the place and just say, go, get out of this land. I mean, this generation, they saw the stark contrast in the middle of the day. They saw this side of Egypt, it was dark. It was night, but this side was light. The flies and the locust and the lice and the frogs. You know, just one more night with the frogs. They saw the death angel as they obeyed God and they put that blood all the way around the doorway. God protected and spared, but they heard the cries throughout the night of lives that were being taken because they were disobedient to the requirements that God had placed upon them. They saw the Red Sea that was literally, they were in, talk about being in a rock and a hard place. Talk about being in a tough situation, an impossible situation. The greatest and strongest army of the world, the finest warriors were on one side, and then it was a dead end on the other side. What was this generation going to do? Hey, just be still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. And he separated and divided that water. They walked across in dry ground, and God didn't just annihilate that army. He buried them under the sea. But then they were given the commission, hey, pick out 12 men. I want you to send them into this land of promise, this land that you're going to be able to partake of the milk and the honey and enjoy this for generations and generations to come. I want you to send these 12 spies so they can spy out the land and bring a report back to us. Let us notice what that report was there in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. It says in verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron, talking of the spies, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and of the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came into the land where thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. What was the initial report? The initial report was everything that you have stated about this land, everything that God has stated about this land is accurate and it is correct. It is a blessed land. It is a land that's fruitful. It is a land that is a land of plenty. But notice with me in verse 28 of Numbers chapter 13, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land, and the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites that dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in their sights as grasshoppers, so we were in their sights. Verse 1 of chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They said, the report that God has given us about this land being plenteous, about this land being fruitful, is accurate, but ultimately the majority said, we can't do it. There's no way that we can go into this land and conquer these giants and possess what God has given us to possess. They cried, they wept, dreams were shattered that evening. They said, we need to get rid of Aaron and Moses. We need to vote on someone different in order to lead us. We're going to raise up a captain. We're going to go back down to Egypt, which is a picture of the world, and enjoy that lifestyle that we had before. We're not going to live by faith. We're going to live by force. We're going to live by sight. And what did God have to do with that generation that had that mindset? I'm going to let you wonder for 40 years. You say, why is this such a day to remember in the life of Israel in Joshua chapter 3? Because this generation that lived really this faithless, yes, God took care of them in the wilderness, but God wanted to do so much more for them in their life than just them surviving. God wanted them to thrive, and this generation saw God do so much previously in their life, and yet they say, God can't do this. There's no way that we can take it even a step further and live this life of faith that God wants us to live. That's not what God wanted for them, though. But here we are 40 years later, back in Joshua chapter 3, and they're at the river. They're at the final checkpoint before they enter into and receive the full blessing of God that God had given and that God had designed for this generation to receive so many years before. Everyone's gone at this point, but there are two individuals that are still alive, that still know what God was trying to do. That was their leaders, Joshua, and of course Caleb, who was a huge influencer of that time. But how about within even our own souls today. What is it that is troubling you today? What type of trial are you experiencing that's robbing you from experiencing the full blessing of God's peace, the richness of God's peace that passes all understanding? You say, well, I can't really cross that river. There's no way that I can overcome this trial. This can't be done. Well, you by faith just let go of your abilities or inabilities and say, you know what? I believe God can give me peace during this time. What sort of financial mountain is too steep that you just can't trust Him to supply for all of your needs? Is there some temptation that just seems too great that God cannot release you from the power of sin? God is not a God just of the past. God is not just a God for Joshua's time. God is very much a God of the present. And I believe that God wants there to be days to remember all over the place in this auditorium together this morning. This was a day to remember, certainly, in the lives of the children of Israel. Not only about the children of Israel in your own individual lives, but what about this church? Is God a God of the past for Regency? Is God a God of the past that He just wants us to talk about the highlight moments that happened 10, 15, 20 years down the road at this point? Absolutely not. God is not limited by age. He's not limited by inability. He's not limited by ability. He's not limited by ability. God is not limited by any of this. He is well able and more than capable of helping us get to the other side. The greatest limitation, though, to God is simply this. It's those who will not believe. It's those who will not by faith except that God is trying to do something in a wonderful and a miraculous way so that you can look back years down the road and not say, you know, it wasn't our financial prowess, it wasn't our talents, it wasn't our abilities, it's not what we possessed in an earthly fashion, but it's everything that we possessed in a heavenly fashion. And the fact that God was able to help, that God was able to strengthen, that God was able to sustain, that God was able to do the impossible. Is God finished with this work here at Regency Baptist Church? Absolutely not. Does God want us to be comfortable on this side of the Jordan, so to speak? Absolutely not. There's so much more that God has for us. But the question is, will you receive those things by faith? God loves it when we're placed in situations where we totally have to depend upon Him because it shows how strong He is and how much we need Him. There's a little church up in Azle, Texas, I heard about maybe about this time last year, and a lady was telling me about it who attended that church. She wasn't necessarily of the fundamental Baptist faith that we are, but nevertheless, they were a faith. I believe that they believed in salvation by grace alone through Jesus Christ. And this little church, they were beginning to expand. They were beginning to grow there in Azle, Texas. They had a smaller building. They were placed on about 10 acres of property. And they really needed more parking space. They needed a bigger building. They had some great needs that were just too far off financially speaking. The pastor there of that church, he asked for a construction crew to come by and to evaluate the land that they were on. And the construction crew gave the negative report that, listen, the land is too hilly here. We're going to have to flatten it out in order to even be able to pour the concrete to build the building. It was over six figures just to be able to do that aspect of it. Far without the reach of this smaller group of people that was growing. They had it in need at this time. But that pastor, he began to ask the people to pray that God will do something. It was not too long after that that the pastor got a knock on his door, and it was an investor that was redeveloping a land nearby. And that investor said, hey, we're in need of some topsoil. Can we use the topsoil that you all have here at your property for the lands that we're developing? And he said, we'll level it for you and we'll pay you for the topsoil. So they got the work for free and then they were paid on top of that. That little church was able to move into the building program that they needed. I tell you what a day to remember. Were they backed up against a rock in a hard place? They said, we don't really know what to do. We don't know how we're going to get there, but we know we have God that's going to help us. And God certainly did help, and He met every single need that they had along that way. If you look at the Jordan River, the Jordan River that they were crossing isn't typically a very wide river. It's really, at some points, it's would be even be considered a creek, not very much a river. At this particular juncture that the children of Israel were at, though, it's estimated during the regular season, it was anywhere from 80 to 100 feet wide and 3 to 10 feet deep. Now, when you have 2.5 million people that are about ready to cross over, that's not necessarily impossible. It's kind of a logistical nightmare when it's 80 to 100 feet wide and 3 to 10 feet deep. But it wasn't just the regular season. This was considered flood season according to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 15. It says that, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. This was springtime. The waters were melting in the northern mountains. They were coming down. They were flowing at a very rapid pace. It was a rainy season during this time. And it wasn't only 80 to 100 feet. Many people speculate that it could have been upwards to 1,000 feet wide and upwards to 20 to 25 feet deep. Not only does that take it from a logistical nightmare, but that takes it to something that's absolutely impossible to be done. There's no way that you can take 2.5 million people from point A to point B and make it safely across. They needed God to do something, and God certainly did something in a marvelous fashion that day. God didn't just divide the waters, say, hey, waters, you're going to sit over here for this time. God, when God gets involved with something, God does it in a miraculous way. Notice with me in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on muddy ground. No. They stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people that passed clean over Jordan. You know, this is kind of the rainy season right now here in Texas. And if it rains for any period of time, don't you expect to go out into the yard and your feet get muddy or wet after a while? But God said, you know what, I'm going to do such an amazing work. I'm going to do such a miraculous and glorious work that no one can say that the engineers got involved and they set up a dam on this side in order to prevent the water from flowing, or the construction workers that they all got together, the children of Israel, and they said, well, we're just going to build everything. It was God that got involved with this. And God that did something, and people that had faith that God would do this for them. It was a day to remember because it was a day that refreshed their souls from a generation prior that failed in stepping out on faith and trusting that God would do something. Not only was it a day to be remembered because it was a refreshment to souls, but it was a day to remember because of the reestablishment of leadership. It was a day to remember because of the reestablishment of leadership. Who was the leader prior to this? Moses was. I tell you what a tough act to follow. Moses, sure, he had his imperfections. He had his anger issues. He was a little bit slow of speech. He had his doubt from time to time. But the man, what an unbelievable leader that saw God do miracle after miracle, victory after victory, who pled on behalf of the people that literally wanted to kill he and Aaron at one point and turn their back on God, that God wanted to destroy and get rid of. This meekest man that ever walked upon the face of the earth, as he's described in Scripture. And this is the person that Joshua is following after. Joshua, of course, was, I don't think there was a better man that was more well-suited for the position than Joshua. He was serving Moses year after year after year for 40 years. He had been his right-hand man. He knew what it was to follow orders and to be a servant. And I tell you what, that he's doing nothing more than that at this position in a more extreme fashion. He's following the orders from the Lord, and he's continuing to serve the people that God has given to him. This was a day to remember because God was reestablishing leadership. Notice with me in verse 7 of chapter 3, it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, notice Joshua didn't say this himself, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day while I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and thou shalt command the priests. Notice with me in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 14. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Moses had passed off the scene. I'm sure that many people were mourning and weeping and grieving over the fact that this leader that they had grown to trust and love had moved on. There was probably some doubt about Joshua, even though he was well suited and well equipped for the job. But Joshua wasn't going to thrust his position in such a way that you have to listen to me, you have to follow the authority that God has divinely given. God has already divinely given him this authority, but God says, you know what, I'm going to get involved and I'm going to do something to where the people firmly understand that I am with you in a strong and a powerful way. And if you will listen to the commands that I give to you, if you are obedient to me and you follow me by faith, guess what? These people that you're leading are going to do the exact same thing. But do you think that there was some commotion amongst the camp at that time? Oh, great. We're crossing another body of water. What kind of a crazy move? What kind of a crazy act is this? Are you kidding me, Joshua? You want us to follow you across this river during the flood season? How about we just go up a little bit further north where it's not nearly as wide? It won't be quite as hard. But Joshua knew that this is where God had placed them, that this is what God wanted them to do. And he wasn't just seeking and serving his own ambition. He wasn't serving himself in what he was doing. There was a sense of surrender and sacrifice about his own life. And he was obeying and following after God. And he said, by faith, I believe that this can take place. And God said, I'm going to establish you together today. In the midst of all the people, it was a day to be remembered because it was a refreshment for their souls. But it was a day to remember because God established leadership for these people that they so desperately needed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, you don't have to turn there, but it simply says this, that the Apostle Paul says, be followers of me. What a bold statement. Don't you think that's a bold statement for someone to say, hey, I need you to follow me? But it was contingent upon something. It was contingent upon the fact that Paul, the Apostle Paul, said this, as I am following Jesus Christ, though. As I'm living the Christian life, God has, that word follower literally means, in the Greek it means to imitate. God wants you to imitate the life that I am living, the example that I'm providing before you. The same thing was true with Joshua. Joshua was just following orders from the Lord. And he was commanding the priests to follow after him. Some of the priests could have risen up. They said, you know what, Joshua, I don't think this is a good idea for us to take the Ark of the Covenant, the most prized possession that we have, it represents the presence of God, and take it into the water. That's a really bad idea. But no, they said, you know what, our leader's following God. Our leader is submitted to obeying what God wants us to do. So we are going to follow suit. Even though there might have been some men that were smarter than Joshua, even though there might have been some individuals and leaders within the camp that said, maybe there's a different avenue or a different path that we could take. But it all functioned and flowed and worked together in such a miraculous way. And this wasn't just something that God was doing in the past for these people, but I believe God still wants that for this present moment in this present situation. The only limitation, as stated before, to Regency Baptist Church moving forward is ultimately faithlessness. It's faithlessness. What are some of the precursors, though, to faithlessness? I believe apathy is one. I remember having a conversation with my grandma years and years ago, and I said, Grandma, she had been a pastor's wife for nearly 40 years at this point. Her husband had gone home to be with the Lord. That was a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. And I said, Grandma, what do you think is some of the problems within the church? I figured she would say sin. She said, no, it's apathy. I think apathy is a precursor to faithlessness, but even before apathy, I believe a precursor to that is tradition. I don't think Satan is going to get this church with some gross sin. But I think that Satan could get this church because we live so much in the past. We say, well, this is how Pastor Bob did things. This is how Pastor Jonathan Stewart did things. And that we can get so wrapped up with how we did things in the past that we forget about what God's trying to do in the present. Don't let that be the Achilles heel to this place. And I don't say that with any degree of spite or any degree of bitterness whatsoever. I love this place. My wife and I, we gave many years to this place. We really do care about the people here. But God was trying to, he wanted this day to be a day to remember because God did the impossible. He was refreshing souls. He was reestablishing leadership. But also, and finally, this was a day to be remembered because it needed to be reminded to generations to come. Don't forget about what God did. I think the previous generation before, they kind of wanted to forget about that in the wilderness. They need to be refined a little bit more. But these people were stepping out by faith, and they were trusting God that God was going to do the impossible, that God was going to lead them across this land and give them this land. Oh, the spiritual vigor and fire that these people had as a result of what God was doing. It says this in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Isn't this kind of history repeating itself? Wasn't there 12 people that went out and spied this land, and now God is saying, hey, I want you to pick out another 12 people from the same tribes that had disobeyed me before? Isn't this a reflection of God's grace and mercy, even in the Old Testament? Don't we have such a graceful and merciful God towards us? And God says, I still want to use this place. I still want to use you people to be a reflection of my glory throughout the whole entire world. It says this in verse 3, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with them, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it came to pass over Jordan, that the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It was a day to be remembered because it was a refreshment of souls that day. As to them stepping out by faith and living the victorious Christian life, it was a day to be remembered because it was a reestablishment of leadership. But it was a day to be remembered because it was imperative to pass on to the generations that followed that God is not just a God of the grandparents. Sure, they could have talked about the Red Sea, but that God was very much a God of the present. Right. Can you see 40 years later, at this point in history, Joshua is old and stricken in years. He's fought well. He's battled hard. God's given him many victories, but he's passed off the scene at this point. And imagine with me, in a very hypothetical sense, Joshua's son and grandson are going to have a family reunion across the river there with some of the cousins from Manasseh, because Joshua was from Ephraim. The half-tribe of Manasseh was on the other side, and they're going across the river Jordan. They're taking a ferry at this point. They have to have a little boat in order to get across this particular section. And Joshua's grandson tugs on his daddy robe and he says, Dad, why are these stones here? That's so weird. That's so odd. What's up with these stones, Dad? And Joshua's son turns to his son. He says, well, let me tell you about what God did. Let me tell you about how God used your grandfather in such a powerful and a strong way. Let me tell you how God is real right now. Now, I can't help but to think that there may be some grandchildren and some great-grandchildren that are one day going to question and say, you know what, why did mom and dad just keep on going to church? Why did they just keep on giving? Why did they continue to do the things that they did? Why did they live a life of faithful? And that generation will have the opportunity and responsibility. Well, let me tell you about what God did in their life. How they transformed them through the Son of Jesus Christ and gave them a brand new life. And how that was just imperative to continue to pass from generation to generation to generation. The question this morning is this, is what is preventing you as an individual from crossing over that river Jordan? What is preventing us from living the life of faith that God has so designed for us to live? And I'm preaching that myself this morning. We all need to evaluate those things. It was a day to be remembered because of refreshment of souls. It was a day to be remembered because of the reestablishment of leadership. It was a day to be remembered because of how imperative it was to pass on to generations to come. This church is only one generation away from being a has-been. I remember being at a pastor's fellowship there with your pastor, Pastor Heimer, just about a year and a half ago. And there was a gentleman that got up and he spoke that morning, or maybe he just simply gave a testimony, but he talked about a church in Wichita, Kansas that he had pastored back in the 70s. And he said, "I'm so grieved and I'm so burdened about our nation, that church that was once seeing souls saved and seeing people baptized, that was seeing lives changed and families coming back together and individuals encouraged in faith, is now a mosque. They're now worshiping a pagan god, a god that doesn't see, a god that doesn't hear, a god that doesn't care about them. But if this generation that's sitting here doesn't come to that River Jordan, that river experience crossing, and say, God, what is preventing me from living this life of faith?" It could be like that. Or it could be a day to be remembered. Maybe over the next 2, 3, 4 years, God is challenging and convicting you and working in your life in a very strong way and stretching you and asking you to take some steps that maybe you weren't very comfortable doing before. And another generation come back up. "What happened to that church at Regency? I just thought they were in that little Cracker Jack box building. I thought there were only 30 or 40 people that attended there on Sundays." Let me tell you about what God did. Of individuals that were willing to sacrifice and step out by faith and see God do a miracle. I believe God has so much more for this place. I believe He wants to see a building. I believe He wants people to get reinvigorated and re-excited. I believe He wants to see more people saved and more people baptized. I believe He wants to use this church in a very powerful way to continue to be a lighthouse and a beacon around this world. And may God bless your faithfulness. May God bless your willingness to follow. May God bless your obedience so that we may enter into heaven together and rejoice in what God has done in and through us, not for us, but for His glory. Not for our ambition, but for His kingdom. And oh, the privilege that we all have to be able to get involved and to stay faithful and to serve Him. A day to be remembered in the life of Israel. What mean these stones? All of us are going to have those river crossing experiences, and I hope, trust, and pray that we can approach those by faith, believing that God is able. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. We just pray that you would continue to bless here at Regency Baptist Church, Pastor and Mrs. Heimer here. Lord, I know that they want the best for this place, and we trust and pray that you'll continue to work and move here. Lord, we love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.